WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. One of President Trump's political foes, former FBI Director James Comey, will be arraigned in federal court in Virginia today. CBS's Natalie Brand.
He's charged with obstruction of justice and making false statements related to five-year-old Senate testimony during which he denied authorizing leaks to the media.
Texas National Guard troops will hit the streets of Chicago today. Correspondent Nicole Skanga.
Fresh off of C-17's roughly 200 members of the Texas National Guard, their assignment? Well, the Pentagon has ordered soldiers to protect federal law enforcement and property from violent demonstrations.
The federal government shut down, entering its eighth day, and President Trump has suggested furloughed workers may not get back pay. Connecticut's Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal.
If pay is denied because people have rights, they will sue for damages.
Flight delays continue to mount as more air traffic controllers sick out in protest. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabel Anieto. The cranberry harvest is well underway across Wisconsin, and we've led the nation in cranberry production for the last 30 years, Melissa Kay reports.
This year, cranberry growers in the state are projected to produce 5.3 million barrels, which is less than the 2024 harvest of 6 million barrels. Grant Hawley is the executive director of the Wisconsin Cranberry Growers Association. He says cranberry research has changed focus a bit over the past year and a half.
Our researchers, seeing the handwriting on the wall and seeing how temperatures, the climate, not the weather, the climate is ticking its way up, they started to move those research pieces over to heat tolerances.
With the shortened season, growers are looking at an average year of production. This year was likely on the border of what the fruit can tolerate in terms of heat and humidity for prolonged periods. Holly said if this is the average climate we can expect going forward, cranberry growers will probably be okay.
If that degree keeps ticking a little bit higher and we keep getting warmer and more humidity, then we need to start to worry.
And what Holly said would cause the worry are bugs and pests cranberry crops haven't had to worry about before.
Are the cranberries going to be fine? They are. They grew up here. They're made for Wisconsin. They're not going to go extinct.
But Holly said these changes to the cranberry climate could cause a drop-off in plant production. Researchers are working to mitigate that as much as possible. But even with these challenges, Holly said Wisconsin isn't likely to lose the cranberry crown anytime soon.
We are producing about 67% of the nation's cranberries, a little over half of the world's cranberries. Are things going to get a little bit leaner? Yeah, they are. But we're not going to lose that title. Wisconsin's still going to be the home of the cranberry.
I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
Game 3, Brewers and Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers playing the Cubs at Wrigley Field. First pitch at 4:08 this afternoon. It'll be Brewers pitcher Quinn Priester's first career start in the postseason.
And yeah, man, I'm going to be fired up. I'm already starting to feel that anxious, that good nerves. And man, I'm fired up.
What's it like for the right-hander who just turned 25 years old? Manager Pat Murphy was asked.
Hey, Murph, with Quinn getting the start, just what's impressed you about his growth this entire season?
Yeah, how rapid it's been. This guy went from, you know, being a triple-A pitcher for the last couple of years to emerging as a real presence, giving his team a chance very often. And just to see that happen right before your eyes, and it's pretty special. He's still a young pitcher.
NBA, ESPN.com again reporting the Bucks engaged in trade talks that could have sent Giannis to the Knicks. The Bucks say they've always kept in close contact with Giannis in the offseason. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
It is going to be sunny today with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. There could be a few spots that get a little frost, especially further north, but lows generally mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. If your bathroom needs a remodel, do it upright, interest and payment-free for 18 months. Call Bath Planet 800-329-4115. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 33. where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by Emily Cherniak, founder and executive director of New Politics, an organization designed to help build the Democratic pipeline of candidates who are truly ready to lead.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Yeehaw.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, the guy who's a little worried about how much traffic he's going to have to go through on his way home.
I hate Dallas.
Founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
I will never make jokes about Illinois drivers again. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, October 8th, 2025. It surely is another beautiful morning up north, but even from here, live in Texas this week, we appreciate you joining us from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or watching us on social media, listening by podcast. Just appreciate you getting your day started right here and started with the greeting and introduction from producer Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2, where, yes, as I get set to wrap up a few days in Dallas here, I will not miss the traffic one bit. Not one. Texas, I mean, the Illinois driver thing, you know, they occasionally will make a jerk move. You know, that's the main thing. They'll speed past you, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Here, every intersection, you take your life into your own hands. You never know who is going to come barreling through at any given point. I mean, the lights and signs mean nothing down here. It is just absolutely crazy.
That shouldn't surprise me, to be honest. I don't know why that surprises me for Texas.
Because keep in mind that yesterday or the day before, I was raving about the highway system itself.
That's true.
Again, because there's a lot of land here. You can make the highways very wide. You can have the express lanes. There's all these extra ramps and bridges and all that. But I think that's great when it's not rush hour. Yeah. I've now had to make a couple of different runs out to the airport to take, you know, our younger daughter back so she could fly back home, and then to take, you know, some our other grandkids so they could fly off, and then we're flying out tomorrow. And I'm telling you, you can't pave your way to easy traffic around that Dallas-Fort Worth airport. It's just not possible, but it is what it is. We still managed to have a good time. Our daughter that lives here took us to the Fort Worth Stockyards yesterday.
Oh yeah,
which is a must. You get to see all the Longhorn cattle being, you know, marched down the cobblestone streets of what used to be a very bustling, you know, meatpacking area, but now lots of touristy shops and things like that, and yes, Parker, just for you, I did take photos of the chaps that were on sale.
Did you buy any?
No, I did not buy any. I have no need. No need.
No need.
Nor for any cowboy hats or arrowheads or lassos or you name. I mean, look, there's tourist traps everywhere.
Yeah.
Texas is no exception.
Well, yeah. So my brother learned how to lasso in high school.
For what practical purpose, dare I ask?
He was in a musical. He was doing Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Well, musical theater, then that's fine. I mean, it wasn't like he was looking for a prom date or something. I'd pick you.
No, certainly not.
Good, good. That's a nice development then. So anyway, all going well. It'll be nice to get home, that's for sure. Where things continue to be busy. It's a busy season back home with all kinds of political notes. And so I've got a question for you. Did you assume that Josh Call was basically going to waltz right into the governor's race? Because you can't be blamed if that's what you thought. It was, after all, that's the Tony Evers path to the governor's office. But Josh Call is going to run instead for a third term as state attorney general. And we're going to talk more about that in just about 10 minutes or so. And we're going to do a little compare and contrast of Wisconsin's attorney general versus the United States attorney general, Pam Bondi, and the reality trash TV worthy performance that she gave yesterday when testifying before Congress. So we'll have that discussion coming up. Also later in the show, we're going to be talking to Chuck Collins, who is from the Patriotic Millionaires Group. And he has this book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power Are Ruining Our Lives and the Planet. He is one of the grandsons of Oscar Mayer, so he knows a thing or two about family fortunes and how wealth is first collected, but then protected, and then you pursue political power, and then you actually take that power and extract more wealth out of the middle class. All the stuff that happened during the Gilded Age, which is happening again right now. And so Chuck Collins talks about how do you fight that? And it's not a matter of going after the billionaires themselves, although that they make a tempting target, but it is the system. And you have to elect people that pledge to fix the system and make it work better for everybody and not just for their biggest and best campaign donors. We're also going to be talking in our homeroom segment. This is basically our one Texas segment while I'm down here, is talking to an official who works with a group that supports public schools and the ongoing battles that they face because of support for taxpayer-funded vouchers for private schools. And she works especially with Texas schools, but can tell us that from Texas and other states, what lessons can we learn in Wisconsin? Because we've got a voucher system that is already approaching the $1 billion a year price tag. And what can we do before this beast becomes an absolute taxpayer catastrophe? So that's coming up at 7:35 in our homeroom segment. We're going to talk to Ellie Bardot, our new newsletter editor here at Up North News. And of course, it's Wednesday, so we've got all kinds of regular friends. Earl Ingram about his podcast, Melissa Baldoff talking about climate, Jimmy Cuska talking about sports. If you can't stick around for all of it, you should get us as a podcast as well. And that way you can listen on demand. Head over to Spotify and follow the program. Follow all of the Civic Media shows. You can do it at Apple as well or wherever you get your podcast. And take us along. Another way to follow what we do on all of these shows across Civic Media is to get the Civic Media daily newsletter, Civic Media Today. That's on Substack. Head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com for more. From a sports standpoint, we've got the Brewers playing the Cubs a little later on this afternoon in the National League Division Series, Game 3, hopefully going for a sweep as the series moves to Wrigley Field. But let's start with the games from last night, because one of them, Parker, was especially exciting, where the Yankees were facing elimination and they were down early in their game to the Toronto Blue Jays 6-1. And they managed to come all the way back thanks to, I think you've heard of this guy, Aaron Judge. He's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
Kid, a game-tying homer. He drove in four runs overall in a clutch performance for the ages, they're saying, as the Yankees staved off elimination, rallying from being down 6-1 to beat the Toronto Blue Jays 9-6 in Game 3. It was the Yankees' largest comeback ever in an elimination game, which is saying something given the storied history of that franchise. They will do it again tonight at Yankee Stadium. In the other American League Division Series, Game 3, the Seattle Mariners beat the Detroit Tigers 8-4 last night. So Seattle's up 2-1 on Detroit. So we've got the full load of Division Series games today, including the Brewers going for that 3-game sweep against the Cubs as the series moves to Wrigley Field for today's start. It is a 4:08 start, which means that pregame coverage begins on stations of the Civic Media Radio Network starting at 3:30 this afternoon. Again, pregame 3:30 for Brewers versus Cubs. If the Brewers don't win this afternoon, then game four will be at Wrigley Field tomorrow. So again, that full slate of games, it's Seattle-Detroit at 2, Brewers-Cubs at 4, Blue Jays-Yankees at 6, and then Phillies-Dodgers at 8, where the Dodgers are up 2 games to love over Philadelphia as well. So we've got a very busy week for baseball here. At some point, we'll talk about the Packers again, but I'm a baseball guy.
This is the best postseason baseball
whenever we can.
This is the best time of year for sports because you get MLB postseason, you get NFL, you get all the college football. It's a great time. And plus, like, people like Dan Schaefer are really excited about Bucks preseason.
Yes, he is. We talked about that yesterday in our 8:30 half hour, how excited Dan is for the Bucks to get going as compared to those of us who pay attention to the NBA sometime after March Madness is all done. Since, you know, the NBA postseason now stretches into half of summer, it feels like. But you got to start the season sometime, and it's going to be starting here real soon. And then, of course, like you mentioned, there's college football as well. The Wisconsin Badgers head to Iowa. They will play a late game on Saturday. Pregame coverage begins at 4 o'clock on several Civic Media stations. So what else have we got? Oh, Dan, we talked about Dan. I should plug his newsletter as well. He has the Recombobulation Area. The recombobulationarea.news is where you sign up. And of course, he contributes to the aforementioned Civic Media Today newsletter that you can get over at Substack. So have you altered your plans for today so that, you know, when you've got the Brewers Cubs playing at 4 o'clock that you can clear the decks and pay attention to things?
Well, frankly, my biggest worry during that time period is me being asleep, because that's a pretty prime nap time for me. So
it's funny, I have never heard somebody in their early 20s talk so much about nap time until Parker got this early morning gig and talks about it that way. But you know, I'm glad you protect the napdom. I like that.
You need to. Believe me, Pat, I need to.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm hoping to get a little downtime as well, because I am definitely getting into that travel, heartburn phase, where when you're traveling, and don't get me wrong, travel's great, but at some point you realize you're pretty much all the time eating out at some place.
Sure.
You know, yesterday when the show got done, my daughter's like, oh, there's a great bagel shop. So we got this great, you know, bagel sandwiches. And then we're at the Stockyards for lunch. Well, you got to have barbecue. So of course there's a big old plate of brisket and ribs to work on. And then later it was, you know, well, should we make a little something here? No, there's a really cool restaurant, you know, down the road. Let's go try that out. So of course, somewhere in the middle of the night, it occurs to me, I haven't had just a simple, basic home cooked meal in a while, and today better be that day for it. Because there's room for this cup of coffee around everything else, and then that's going to do it. And then a little bit of downtime for the Brewers game.
That's fair, yeah. And it kind of sucks too, because you don't have your own bed to go to, really.
No. And again, you know, travel's great, but at some point you go, oh, these are not my pillows. This is not my mattress. And you learn to appreciate it so much more when you get back to it. And especially in a place like Texas, where, again, it was 90 yesterday, you know, outside. You'd get into your car in the parking lot and it would be 212 degrees.
Yeah, you know, burn inside, your butt inside the car. Seat.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Still a little toasty down here. But again, I will have all winter to think about this and say, I appreciate seasons, even the winter ones, more so than, you know, eternal heat. Eternal heat's kind of overrated, having lived on an island for 3 years. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for jeans and hoodies. Yeah, you know,
variety's good. I'm a big winter guy. I like it.
Yeah. So bring that on. I'll be ready to go back to the hoodies. And I think we've seen the last of the 80s, you know, or at least the upper 80s in Wisconsin. So, you know, it's fall. It's Packer time. We just got to get the Brewers a little deeper into the postseason as well. Well, coming up in a moment, as I said, we've got Attorney General Josh Call deciding not to run for governor, which kind of goofed up our question of the week in the newsletter. But we'll talk more about that and about the embarrassment of the U.S. Attorney General on Capitol Hill yesterday. Thanks for joining us here on the Civic Media Radio Network, live from Dallas. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
So my mother is thinking of switching from Verizon to PureTalk, but she's worried the deal sounds too good to be true. Michael, she said, how can those PureTalk people offer me the same basic service as Verizon for so much less money? I said, Ma, go ask Google how much Verizon spends on advertising and promotions. A few seconds later, my mother said, oh my goodness, $12 billion a year? That must be a typo. I'll tell you what I told my mom. It's not a typo. Verizon spends $12 billion a year on advertising and promotions, and their customers are paying for it. Well, PureTalk doesn't spend that kind of money on commercials. Trust me, I would know. That's why they can offer you and my mother unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data on a crazy fast 5G network for just $25 a month. And if you're a business owner, you could really save a fortune. Dial pound 250, say the words Mike Rowe, and you'll get an additional 50% off your first month. That's pound 250, Mike Rowe. Pure Talk. Everything you need and nothing you don't.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
So, as I mentioned, Josh Call has a lot of things to think about as state attorney general. I don't think he was thinking about messing up our question of the week, but he did. I'm sure he didn't mean to, but by announcing yesterday that he is not going to run for governor, it kind of messed up our first way too early poll for governor for Wisconsin for 2026. It was part of our Sunday morning newsletter, originally and creatively titled Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the banner at the top of our homepage. And yeah, this past Sunday, we said, well, here are the people who have said they're running for governor. We're also going to throw in Attorney General Josh Call because he might run. And we'll throw in former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes because he might run yet. And then everybody who has announced, what do you think? And we did get some responses from people who said that Josh Call would be their first choice for governor. They really like what he has done as attorney general, trying to keep the Trump administration accountable, you know, fighting for consumer protection and all of the things that a good state attorney general does. Well, those folks aren't going to get to vote for Josh Call at this point. Mandela Barnes has now said that he is seriously considering getting into the race for governor, but it is not official yet. But we've also been receiving a lot of replies from people who, like all of the other candidates who are running, everybody from beer vendor Ryan Sternad to, you know, members of the legislature and non-politicians alike, And so again, to be the first to see our question of the week on Sunday mornings, sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. So getting back to Josh Call's announcement yesterday that he's going to run instead for a third term as Attorney General, he told Wisconsin Public Radio, quote, "This is such an important time for the role of attorneys general around the country. I think it's a pivotal time for the country, and I think some of our most basic rights are under threat." WPR notes that Call has signed on to several dozen multi-state lawsuits against the Trump administration. Those have targeted different cuts to federal funds and grants, access to personal data, the firings of federal workers, Trump's attempt to block birthright citizenship, among other policies as well. Now, speculation about Josh Call running for governor someday even predated Tony Evers' decision not to seek a third term next year, because Josh Call would have been on the Tony Evers track for governor, having won multiple statewide elections already. But ultimately, Call decided to stay put, and that leaves more than a half dozen other Democrats now seeking the governor's post. And all of them, you know, good candidates in their own way for governor. And then Josh Call hoping to continue the good service that he has provided to the people of the state of Wisconsin. And that's the difference between having an attorney general who's driven by mission to the rule of law and one who is instead just engaged in theater. And that takes us to Pam Bondi, the corrupt Florida attorney general turned to corrupt U.S. attorney general, turned a congressional inquiry about abuse at the Justice Department into the usual Trump-worthy responses worthy of the trash TV that this administration truly represents. Bondi refused to answer questions and instead hurled juvenile insults, making clear she has no business being the top law enforcement official of the United States of America. Her ongoing audition to please Donald Trump is just embarrassing and now borders on the criminally contempt. Of course, there's something Pam Bondi knows a thing or two about, and that is, you know, being borderline criminally contempt. She first came on the scene 12 years ago when her Florida Attorney General's office declined to assist in the investigation of widespread fraud committed by Trump University. It was then discovered that a political group supporting Bondi had received a $25,000 political contribution from the Trump Foundation. One problem: foundations cannot make political contributions. Eventually, Trump would shut down the fraudulent Trump Foundation and the fraudulent Trump University. In return, he got a fraudulent lackey who would later serve as United States Attorney General. So yesterday's behavior was not really news. On the release of files related to sexual predator and former Trump friend Jeffrey Epstein, despite saying earlier this year that the Epstein client list was sitting on her desk for review, Bondi said yesterday she actually had yet to review the documents. On the legal justification for a president to send military troops into the streets of American cities instead of protecting our country from outside enemies, Bondi resorted to legal arguments best described as, "I know you are, but what am I?" And then there's Trump's so-called border czar, Tom Homan, who was recorded last year accepting what appears to be a bribe of $50,000 in cash. Not only has the investigation apparently been dropped, but when she was asked yesterday if taxpayers got the bribe money back from Homan, Bondi wouldn't say. Again, acting more like a mouthpiece for her boss rather than the person most responsible for ensuring that there is equal treatment under the law. Now, did any Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee take Bondi to task for choosing drama over substance and failure to answer these important questions about the politicization of the U.S. Department of Justice? Of course not. They were joining in on some other weighty matters like Hunter Biden and the 2020 election. You know, two of the issues at the heart of Donald Trump's two impeachments, where Republicans chose politics over law and democracy. I could go on and on, but the point is that in looking at Josh Call and Pam Bondi yesterday, we know what a good attorney general looks like, and we know what a stooge looks like. And expecting justice from the current U.S. Department of Justice is just something that's not in the cards. Coming up next, today's history lesson, we'll start off with a little Cool in the Gang by Cool himself. That's coming up after the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 98.9 WXCO.
If you're a connoisseur of butter, you may be feeling left out of a global trend. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. I'll explain what that's all about next.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Apparently, there is a global trend of consumers looking for pasture-raised butter. That's word from Dr. Greg Brickner. He is a veterinarian and a grazing specialist with the Dairy Grazing Apprenticeship. He said this is a market that the United States, to a large extent, is missing out on. Areas like New Zealand seem to be the blueprint moving forward, and he's investigating.
Really, the only place that a grazing dairy farmer can get a premium for their work is through organic and organic grass-fed markets then. And those are difficult markets to get into. They take time to transition into. And even though they have a very high pay price, they have very high input costs as well. So profitability is just as challenging in those. And so we're trying to provide a conventional grass-based market, much like is done in the rest of the world, New Zealand and Ireland.
Dr. Greg Brickner, he is a veterinarian and a grazing specialist with the Dairy Grazing Apprenticeship Program. He said if the United States can focus a little bit more effort on pasture-raised butter, the premiums could be there. Last year alone, American consumers bought and consumed an average of 2.7 million pounds of butter each day.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
And did you know this is National 4-H Week? 4-H'ers have been found to be twice as likely to have the goal of being a leader, three times more likely to participate in community service, and twice as likely to report living life with intentionality and purpose. Find out more at the number 4-H.org. There's your food news for Wednesday. I'm Pam Yonke. Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 98.9 WXCO.
It is going to be sunny today with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. There could be a few spots that get a little frost, especially further north, but lows generally mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. If your bathroom needs a remodel, do it upright, interest and payment free for 18 months. Call Bath Planet 800-329-4115. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin farmers and tariffs. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren Von Ruden will join us. I hope you can too.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Yeah, it feels like a Yacht Rock kind of day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't play a little Cool in the Gang without going, who is cool from Cool in the Gang? To which Robert Bell says, I'm cool. Robert Cool Bell turns 75 years old today.
He said, I'm just me.
It's me. I mean, I don't know if he gave himself the name Cool or somebody else did, but he's cool. And he's got a gang. So Cool in the Gang.
Yeah. You know.
And all of their many hits.
The whole, I'm glad you said Yacht Rock, because that reminded me of did you hear about the little Craig Council hates Yacht Rock?
No.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
So the Brewers, on the day before the series started, so I think on Friday last week, the Cubs were taking BP in the stadium, and the Brewers were playing like kind of slow songs like Yacht Rock.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about that. Yes.
Turns out, apparently, that was because Craig Council, very vocally, which is a weird thing to do, hates Yacht Rock.
So that's why I didn't know why they were playing Yacht Rock for the Cubs BP, but it turns out he expressed a strong dislike for Yacht Rock.
Yeah, which is kind of a weird thing to be vocal about.
Yeah, so for those of you going, you know, Pat, you're so hard on Craig Council all the time. I mean, he's a Milwaukee product. He's a beloved son of the city. And he did such great things for the Brewers. Now you're mad because he went to play for the Cubs. Yeah, now this.
This is the last straw.
This is my line in the sand with the Yacht Rock. So that's it, Craig Council. We're done.
Wow.
Okay, we were already done ahead of time. All right, this is not a happy day in history. On this day in 1871 was the Great Chicago Fire. It was also the Great Peshtigo Fire. It was also the Great Michigan Fire. None of them all knew at the time that this was going on, but they had all ignited this day in 1871, exacerbated by months of drought, years of slash and burn forest practices, and then a strong weather front that blew embers for miles and miles. So a very deadly, very serious day in all of those locations, from Chicago up to Northeast Wisconsin, up to the UP, this day in 1871. Let's get a little closer to the present time. Let's take you as far as 1982, where Culture Club released their debut album, Kissing to Be Clever. Kissing to Be Clever included their Time Clock of the Heart and Do You Really Want to Hurt Me and I'll Tumble For You. It was basically, you know, Boy George and Company unleashing a wave of acts from the UK that populated early MTV. You had groups like Duran Duran, Tears for Fears, The Human League, Eurythmics, and more. You know, basically it's when our generation looked back at, say, the 70s with the polyester leisure suits and the 60s with the mini skirts, and we thought, oh, well, we live in the normal time. And now we look back at that time, Boy George, all the other bands of early MTV, And we're like, no, everybody becomes dated at this point, you know?
What do you think is going to stand out from today's style that people are going to go, really?
See, that's always the big question, yeah. Is you don't know at the time. Then you look back at, you know, whether it's, we look back now at pages from the Sears catalog, you know, and we look at the styles there and we just kind of wince. And I don't know what it'll be. And the thing is, it's not that the style was right or wrong.
Yeah.
It's just that it changes. And so you look back at something so different,
yeah,
and you think, oh, that's clearly dated. Well, no, it's just, it's what was normal then.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. In the later in the decade of the 80s, you went from the British MTV groups, you know, that were like overdressed. You went to hair bands like Def Leppard, and they had the number one song this day in 1988. So Def Leppard's Love Bites was one of the many hair band ballads that charted, such as Every Rose Has Its Thorn by Poison, Whitesnake's What Is This Love, there was Always by Bon Jovi, and of course, the worst of them all, Sister Christian by Night Ranger. But in each case, all of these bands learned that while it was fun to rock out, it was also very lucrative to slow things down now and then. And it's funny how many stories I've seen of bands that they started making money when they did these ballads and slow songs and love songs. And the band member was like, dude, we're here to rock out. And, you know, then their manager would show them the royalty check for the slow stuff. I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, okay, we can do that.
Uh-huh. On Facebook.
Oh, boy.
The comment section from Roger.
Oh.
Roger writes,
oh, that's
did
okay.
You hear Boy George's pet lizard bit three people? Authorities have warned him he needs a calmer chameleon. I'm laughing because Parker has no idea why that's so funny. So I will teach him the song Karma Chameleon in the break. I promise.
Oh, boy.
But for those of us of a certain age, that was a good one there, Roger. Thank you very much. On this day in 1948, John Cummings was born in Long Island, a founding member of the Ramones. He became Johnny Ramone and passed away in 2004. On this day in 1965, C.J. Ramone, the bassist and occasional vocalist, was born Christopher Joseph Ward in Queens, New York City. On this day in 1980, Talking Heads released their fourth album, Remain in Light, including this hit.
And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful house. And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful wife.
Letting the days go by.
Yes, that was 45 years ago that Talking Heads released Remain in Light. On this day in 1956, the New York Yankees' Don Larsen pitched the only perfect game in a World Series. And, you know, just great video of catcher Yogi Berra jumping up into his arms at the end of the game. And, again, there's been one postseason no-hitter since then, but no perfect game. On this day in 1982, after its London premiere, Cats opened on Broadway and ran for nearly 18 years before closing in September of 2000. Is that anywhere in your, I mean, ever saw it or a group that performed it or anything like that? Because I'm not. I've never seen Cats.
I am very aware of Cats. I have not seen Cats, though.
Okay. Let's see. More birthdays. Oh, several birthdays here today. Let's start with Bruno Mars. Happy birthday to Bruno. He is 40 years old today.
What?
Well, that's how these things work. You know, you're an overnight sensation at a ripe old age after you've been paying your dues for years and years. But
yeah,
I mean, this song itself now is going back, what, almost 10 years, right? Locked Out of Heaven?
I don't know how old this.
Well, we'll look into that. Chevy Chase is 82 years old today. Actress Sigourney Weaver is 76 today. Actor Matt Damon is... Oh, we don't have time for Matt Damon. I'm sorry.
Oh.
No, he's... Jimmy Kimmel will tell you he's 55 years old today. And here's another one of those that'll make you feel a little bit older. Angus T. Jones. Little Jake from Two and a Half Men is 32 years old today.
Oh, yeah.
30, yeah, see? Yeah, that'll do it to you.
Yeah.
All right. On this day in 1983, I'm going to tell you about the number one and number two songs on the chart. The number two song was Making Love Out of Nothing at All by Air Supply. And the number one song, Total Eclipse of the Heart, was from Bonnie Tyler.
Falling apart. It's nothing I can do. A total eclipse of the heart.
Now again, those songs, Total Eclipse of the Heart and Making Love Out of Nothing at All, those are classic Jim Steinman songs. The late Jimmy Steinman had all these songs with massive length and production value, and he did all of the, you know, the Bat Out of Hell stuff from Meatloaf, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. He's done all kind. You know, if you saw the list of songs, it's just classic Jim Steinman. It turns out that on this day in 1983, when those two songs were number one and two on the chart, he became the first solo writer and producer to hold the top two spots in the Billboard Hot 100. Now, out of sheer coincidence, Parker, last night, watching with my daughter, watching some TV, and she says, "Have you ever watched a show called Zillow Gone Wild?" And I said, no, I know Zillow, the app for, you know, real estate. Yeah. And I've heard of something called Zillow Gone Wild, which, I'm sure shows off some wacky houses.
Sure.
And so she put it on. And wouldn't you know, right there was the house that belonged to the late Jim Steinman.
Oh, wow.
That was up for sale. And it clearly qualified for the show. It's
a little wacky.
It's unusual, yes. A lot of interesting art, designer clothing, all kinds of instruments around. I believe one of the hallways, the walls weren't painted; they were all leather, for example.
Oh,
it was just there were so many interesting art objects that were in there.
Yeah,
all for a mansion that was listed at $4 million.
Cool.
And by the way, $4 million in this massive house with all these funky rooms, two bedrooms. did not want to entertain overnight guests. You can come visit. We can have a party here. And now it's time for you to go home. But Ooh. That makes it a little tougher to sell, you know? I mean, because somebody's going to have to create bedrooms out of some of these other more eclectic rooms.
Yeah,
I guess,
that's interesting. Was he just getting out of the house?
I don't know. He's been passed away for a couple of years now.
Okay.
So I assume he was still living in it at the time.
I like the idea that they preserved it like that. And one wants to tackle that beast. They just keep it that way.
Well, the listing agent said, you know, we want it this way because we want somebody to kind of protect a lot of what he put into it. And I don't know if that's going to be the case. I think somebody will pay top dollar for it and then pay top dollar for, you know, the wrecking crew to come in and make it their own, which they'll have an easier time doing that than they will the other house that they featured in this episode. The Old Shoe. Yes, it was a house built in the shape of a big old shoe, like, you know, like the
Little Miss Tuckett, is that her name?
There once an old woman who lived in a shoe, so many children, she didn't know what to do. So more like a boot.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So it's a big white like boot for a house that you could live in. Somebody builds this for themselves. This whole show is people who build these things for themselves. And then somebody at some point goes, you know, you're going to have to sell this. You're going to have to hope somebody wants this thing. And
yeah, but I'll die first and it won't be my problem.
That's just it. See, it won't be my problem then. You just go with what you enjoy. And that's how, you know, your Zillow Gone Wild and your HGTV and all these things. I'm sure they have to pay a little bit for the rights to tell the story, which is fine because they may not be getting income from any other source anytime soon. They got to pay the property taxes and everything else while they hope somebody comes along and wants a house shaped like a shoe. So
there you go.
Good luck to those folks. when we come back, we're going to talk a bit about some of the top stories that we're following at Up North News. And in our next hour, we will be talking about ongoing threats to public schools through the burgeoning, shall we say, voucher program that is approaching a $1 billion price tag here in Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up next.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes, joined again by Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
We will have more with you coming up in just a little bit. But first, we're going to talk about another theatrical performance. We've been talking a lot about these recently, but another one's coming to a DC Everest this weekend on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It is the first show of their season, Dare to Dream Junior. We're very happy to welcome the directors of the production coming up at DCE, Marshall Delaunay. Yep. Marshall, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Chad.
And also Wendy Vesper. And glad to have you here, Wendy, as well.
Thank you for having us.
Dare to Dream Junior. I have to admit, I had not been familiar with it prior to you reaching out and talking about it. For folks who may not be familiar with it, what is Dare to Dream Junior?
Dare to Dream Junior is a Disney musical review, which there is a storyline about looking for and finding your dreams and chasing your dreams. But they take Disney songs out of the context of the movies and incorporate it into the theme of the show. It's a really unique perspective, so you get to hear all your Disney favorite tunes, but there's a storyline to go with them.
What kind of variety of the tunes are there? Is it a history of Disney, basically, in one evening?
Yeah, there seems to be this older classic Disney and newer Disney that's coming out now. So you get a really nice mix of both. We end up having songs from classic shows and also Disney movies such as Be Our Guest from Beauty and the Beast. But we also move into Surface Pressure from Encanto and also things from Coco and different movies throughout the ages of Disney.
And in terms of the reception for a high school production, you want to make sure that it connects with the kids. Is this something that right from the beginning that you felt like the kids really connect with?
Yes. The show is being put on by grade 6 through 12. I feel that everybody loves a little bit of Disney somewhere. There's a little for everybody. And when we announced it to the kids and said, hey, we're going to do this show, the kids were super excited. And because they always want to do Disney, but we don't do a lot of Disney. So this gave them a chance to sing some of their favorites from shows that really aren't theater shows yet. So they were super excited about that.
Ages grade 6 through 12, that's a rather wide range. Does that present any kind of challenges having some of the younger kids along with some of the older kids?
I would say no challenges, but there's been a lot of good just that we've seen. And what we've done in the past where we've had our junior productions be 6 through 12, what's been really nice is that our senior level students, grades, 9 through 12 or 10 through 12, they have essentially sort of taken the younger students under their wing and have kind of helped guide them through what they're doing. But also, there's a lot of support that the kids do as well. They foster friendships, and then it bridges that gap, especially between where they are. And so then, when someone comes in to be a part of a show like this, and then if we do a senior level show, and unfortunately, if the grades don't work out for them to be a part of it, but then they come back to another one, then they still have those bonds and they form those friendships so that they can just keep continuing to have that throughout the time. So I would say no negatives, all positives.
How many performers are there involved in this production?
There's about 56 kids in the cast, and then we have 10 kids on our cruise. It's almost 70 kids involved, and they're all having a great time.
That is a big group, though. That's probably why you have two directors here. How do you try to put it all together? The sense of it, too, a lot of individual pieces that ultimately come together as a complete whole?
Yeah, there's partly to that. There are all the separate songs. So, if you're thinking too that you're going to come and just see like a Beauty and the Beast or like an Encanto or things like that, that is not going to be the case. You will hear songs from the different movies, and those then all tie into this overall arching theme of essentially just searching for what your dream may be. So there is the thoroughfare of what's happening, and there is the story. It is a little loose in certain aspects of how it continues, but it does tell the story of how we can all still be dreamers no matter our age, which was one of Walt Disney's famous things.
How do you put together a production with this many people?
We run a summer program through our summer school program in the district. I would say 3/4 of the kids learned about 3/4 of the show during the summer. And then we invited kids that maybe couldn't participate in summer school because of jobs or other commitments. They had an opportunity to try out at the beginning of the school year. And then we rehearsed a couple numbers that we couldn't fit in during the summer and then put it all together as a whole. And we've really only had 15 rehearsals since school began on this show. So it was the kids working a lot at home, and then we incorporated those kids that didn't know it, and I don't know, it's just all come together. This last week has been a lot of run through and getting all the lines down and stuff, but the kids have really stepped up to the challenge, and I think they've put together something that is super entertaining and really fun.
And Marshall, we've talked to you previously, you directed. Just hearing what Wendy says, that can be probably scary for a director, because it sounds like you're asking the performers to do a lot of what you call maybe self-work, as opposed to where it's every night for 8 weeks where you come in and have rehearsals. For a director, you have to maybe give up a little control, it sounds like, in this kind of case. Would that be fair to say?
I would say possibly, yeah. There's a lot of trust that we have with our students. And I mean, both Wendy and I, as co-directors, we talked about it, over the summer and said, okay, well, how can we make this work? And even other people that we worked with over the summer, such as Scott Atkinson, who comes in and helps us in the summer school and those types of things. But there's a lot of people that have a lot of hands on this production to try to make it be what it is. And so there is a lot of trust that we have with the students. And so from my perspective, I handle a lot of the dancing. And so there's been a lot of videos that we have put out there and said, okay, well, we had them over the summer. Here's the videos of what we did. Please go and watch them. Try to learn it on your own. And then it's been a lot of come together and say, okay, you've taken these puzzle pieces. Now we have to actually make the picture. And so there's a lot of that has been going on. Right. But again, like Wendy said, the kids are doing fantastic with it. And it's a fun show and they're having a lot of fun with it too. You can see that on their faces when they're performing, which is just great. And also being in the space that we have now, especially with what was happening over the summer with our renovation, is just a joy to be able to see what we are capable of doing now in the space.
And we will have more with Wendy Vesper and Marshall DeLone from DC Everest and Dare to Dream Jr. coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the DC Everest Auditorium. That is coming up in our next segment in about 22 minutes or so at 7:22. But coming up next, top of the hour information update, followed by more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas National Guard troops hit the streets of Chicago today, and Mayor Brandon Johnson has a question.
The governor of Texas should be worrying about Texas. Why he all up in my business?
Both the city and state have filed lawsuits. The government shutdown now entering its second week, and air traffic controller sickouts are affecting more airports. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
The percentage of on-time departures nationwide has ticked down over the last several days as these staffing issues have increased.
James Comey is headed to court to face charges of obstruction and lying to Congress about approving leaks to the media during testimony 5 years ago. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
The former FBI director, fired by President Trump in 2017, has denied wrongdoing, but he will face two criminal charges at an arraignment at the federal courthouse in Alexandria, Virginia today.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.